Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron. And we have another Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show coming your way here, live on the air. We got no guests tonight, so I've been slacking. Haven't gotten enough work done. Been working late nights on resumes and wood orders and all that crap. What's new? I don't even know because I haven't been doing my job. What's new with you, Tony?
Well, I lost my MP3 player.
Oh, that sucks.
So my workouts have been messed up all week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't know if it fell out of my gym bag or what, but I've been irritable. But then again, when I'm irritable, I tend to work out very viciously. But I had to work out at home because I don't have an MP3 player to bring to work. And then I don't have an MP3 player, so then the one woman in the office that sneezes and blows her nose like a trombone I have to listen to. And then when people want to talk about conversations I don't want to hear about, unfortunately, I have nothing to drown them out.
Right. Well, we had a big UFC fight over the last weekend. Weird little injury in the main event. I don't know if you ever heard this in a boxing match, but the guy got a torn esophagus, Tony.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Right? I don't even know how it happened. It's kind of like an against-the-cage type of injury. So that was kind of weird. But, yeah, that happened. Let's see what else we got here. For big news, we didn't have a whole lot of boxing going on last week, right?
No, nothing really at all.
So that sucked. But, yeah, UFC Fight Night 74 was up in Canada. That was Charles Oliveira in the main event, losing to Max Holloway by esophagus injury. First round. And he basically just kind of stopped the fight himself. Just kind of backed up against the cage and waved it off. No, I can't do it. So, kind of an anticlimactic ending there to a good card. But, let's see what we got. I know we got some big stuff coming up this weekend. I think the Abner Mares fight is coming up.
Should be a good fight.
He's got that. That's a whole other Premier Boxing Champions card. I think there's Friday, Saturday stuff going on this the PBC. We got a lot of PBC stuff coming out. But let me check out BoxRec while we're waiting for that. Let's see if I got anything queued up here in my radio show stories. Wow, still got last week's stuff up there at the top. That's not good. I didn't get anything for this week. I've really been slacking. Yikes. Let's see if we get Tom on. See if Tom can give us some news. Tom, what's new?
Well, the only surprise of the week, and this has been, can't believe we've been on such a drought here lately. You know, I feel like I need an oasis. I'm out in the desert getting thirsty. But Jordan Mean has apparently retired, and I think he's either 25 or 26 years old.
Right.
That really took me by surprise. But I guess when you look back on it, he turned pro at a very young age. I don't know how. I don't know what the restrictions are in Canada, but from what I heard, he started his first cage fight was when he was 16. So he said he's just burnt out. Really a surprise. I was kind of you know, since he actually was the one that made Forrest Pettis in essence retire. I figure, well, hey, if he beat my buddy, I hope he goes all the way, you know. And, well, I guess if the passion's not there, this is the wrong activity to be in, as we all know.
Well, guy just retired.
So,
first win in the UFC the other night. Frankie Perez, I think. Is that who it was?
Yeah, that. Yeah. Well, you know what's that saying? It's not for everyone, and boxing and MMA are not the kind of things to hang around in if you're not committed. For sure. I mean, that old Max Kellerman phrase, boxing's not the kind of sport to hang around in just to say you're hanging around, and I've never forgot that. And it's the same thing. I mean, if you're either all in or you're not, and this is too dangerous. Both these sports are too dangerous to have one foot in and one foot out, in my opinion. You're going to be in all the way or just get out.
Neil Magny came back too in the co-main event there. I already mentioned that the main event was real quick ending in the injury, but co-main event, Neil Magny really did not show much rust at all. Beating up Eric by split decision. Looked really good in there. More so, I think Silva just looked like he was out of place. It was just very frustrating style there for Magny, and obviously Magny had a little bit of a fire under him to get this win. So.
Magny's very technical. He doesn't really have any glaring weaknesses. And it was a tough fight for Silva. But the point being with Silva, it's been about, how long has he been around now? 3-4 years. And it seemed like when he came around, he was headed to be the next big thing. But it's just not panning out. He seems to get to a certain level and then can't get past it. I mean, I like the guy. He's pretty exciting to watch. But happy for Magny coming back from a loss that quick.
Good job for him. Then we had a real war. Emphasis on the war. Just absolute slugfest between Patrick Cote and Josh Berkman. All three rounds, just vicious stuff. And Berkman, I think, was winning the fight, and then Cote just came out of nowhere with a punch. It was a right hook, and just boom, right on the button. Josh Berkman was out of it. 126 of the third round, that was it. And talk about pulling it out. It was fight of the night, too, I believe. So each guy got $50,000. Good for them. Great job on both guys' parts of really showing that not only heart, but showmanship.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of hope Berkman sticks around. I mean, I know he's probably getting a little long in the tooth considering how long he's been fighting, but he always, again, another guy that Forrest lost to, but hey, I've always appreciated Josh Berkman, and this one was, he always gives it all, so hopefully he's not going to quit.
I don't think he will, but we'll keep an eye on that one. Then we've got Francisco Trinaldo picked up a big win over Chad Laprise by TKO in the first round, 2 minutes and 43 seconds in. Olivier Aubin-Mercier beat Tony Sims by unanimous decision, which is also how Valerie Letourneau beat Marina Moros. Unanimous decision. And as I said, Frank retired after beating Sam Stout. It was his first win in the UFC for Frankie Perez, and he just said, yeah, I'm done. He's 26-2. So I don't know whether they're just trying to send the UFC a message there with those two, or they're just really weird birds. But I think Perez has a little bit less experience than the guy you were talking about. But this was a TKO for Frankie in the first round, 54 seconds in. Sam Stout is actually known as Hands of Stone. So, tough nickname for a guy who gets knocked out in a boxing match here. Not too good for him. But, yeah, he's kind of slowed down in recent years. He hasn't looked as good. But his boxing used to be one of the best boxing styles in the game of MMA. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
And we had Felipe Arantes beat Eve Jabouin by submission by armbar, 4:21 into the first round. Nikita Krylov beat Marcos Rogério de Lima by rear naked choke submission. That was in the first round. That's a 2:29 mark. Chris Galades beat Chris Neal by split decision. Shane Campbell beat Elias Silverio by unanimous decision. And Mika Sirkunov beat Daniel Jolly by knockout with just 15 seconds left to go in the first round. So there it is. That's your UFC event that went on last weekend, and we got another one coming up this weekend. Pretty sure that's it's one of the numbered events, isn't it?
Are you talking about the Johnson-Dodson? That's September 5th. That's a week from Saturday.
Oh, okay. So is the UFC taking another week off on us again?
Yeah, how about that? How about that? Yeah, yes, sir. It's another week off.
Yep. And then it's not anything until September 27th, so this is going to be the slow time of year for them. See, we've got, Bellator going on Friday night. Melvin Gillard versus Gertz. It's going on tomorrow night. We'll go over that. World Series of Box. World Series of Fighting doesn't have anything until September 18th. Brandon Gertz, I believe, is Gillard's opponent. World Series of Fighting, there was a story that went out today. They warned Bellator about Gillard and his issues. And I guess he's like John Jones, he's got a cocaine issue as well. So hopefully they got some good testing for this. But anyway, he comes in at 32-14-2 for this bout against Brandon Gertz, who's 12-4. And he was basically thrown out of World Series of Fighting for a series of gaps there where he turned out not to make weight for a big fight. He was supposed to headline. He backed out. A bunch of little things adding up to basically make it impossible for them to work with him. So now he's in Bellator, giving it another shot, and we'll see if it works for him. In the co-main event tomorrow night, we have Patricky Friere, the brother of Pitbull. He's fighting Syed Awad, who is 18-6. Friere is 13-6. And also on the card, Justin Wren, 10-2, fighting Josh Burns, who's 8-8. Rafael Butler, 9-1, fighting Lorenzo Hood, who's 9-2. We got Marluz Conan coming back to the Bellator cage. She's 22-6, fighting Arlene Blenkow, who's 6-4. Adriana Jenkins also on this card. She's 18-6, fighting Lisette Neri, who's 6-2. And I guess Bellator's really trying hard with the women. They've also got another women's fight here. Maria Rios, 2-2, fighting Leah McFarlane, who's 1-0. We got AJ McKee, 1-0, fighting James Barnes, who's 4-0. Luke Bondo, 4-1-2, fighting Ray Sloan, who's undefeated at 8-0. Johnny Cisneros, 8-4, fighting Gabriel Miglioli, who's 9-7. Curtis Millender, 7-2, fighting Steven Giacchio, who is 4-3. Derek Anderson, 12-1, fighting Brent Primus, who's 5-0. And Emiliano Sordi, 13-4, fighting AJ Matthews, who's 7-3. So that's about it for your Bellator action martial arts stuff this week. That's pretty much it. And then we go over to Box Rec to see what we got going on there. The world schedule.
The Box Rec still suck?
It still sucks, yes.
Great.
It sucks a little bit less as far as the pop-up ads, though. That you
okay.
Us all the time. Fucking Arizona vacation that I'll never take now. Sick of the damn pop-ups. All right, it's Friday night, and I'm sure we've got some bouts. Just trying to find them here. Find the good ones. So, lot of hard to pronounce names fighting on Friday night. None of them have great records here. Here's an interesting one in Spain. Matthew Macklin is fighting Chris Herman.
Really?
Andalusia, Spain. Macklin is 32-6. Chris Herman is 19-6-1 there at middleweight. Let's see. The USA Minnesota State Cruiserweight titles on the line over in Hinkley, Minnesota on Friday. Phil Williams, 14-7-2, will be fighting Al Sands, who's 15-1. And we also have Aaron Green, 16-0 undefeated as a heavyweight, fighting Damon McCreary, who's 15-5 on the card. Right there. Actually, we were supposed to get this guy on the show, but didn't end up coming through with it. But Brandon Bennett is in the main event tomorrow night at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in D.C., Washington, D.C. Brandon is 19-1, fighting Jonathan Micello, who is 21-2. And also on the card, Philip Jackson Benson, he's 15-2, fighting Janair Guerrero, who's 8-5. And Jameel Herring, 12-0, fighting Ariel Vasquez, who's 12-8-2. Another interesting one. Robert Easter is on this card. He's 14-0, fighting Osumanu Akaba, who's 32-8-1. Heck of a fight record there. Fighting so far down on the card. And out there at the B Hotel and Casino on Friday, we've got some showbox stuff on, Showtime fights. Trevor Bryan is in the main event. He's 15-0 fighting Derek Rossi, who is 30-9. Also on that card, Juan Ubaldo Cabrera, 23-0, fighting DiCarlo Perez, who's 14-3-1. That's at super middleweight. Main event is heavyweights. We also have another heavyweight fight between Dorsett Barnwell, who's undefeated at 12-0, and Avery Gibson, who's 5-5-3. And also our former guest is on this card, Joey DeVaco, who is 15-4-2, fighting Natu Vicenia, who is 11-1.
And Joey's just coming off about a 30-second knockout.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he just fought.
Yeah, you know, but not very long.
Right.
He thought this didn't go very long.
Which I'm sure he appreciates.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Here's a fight card over in, I'm guessing, European country, Bulgaria. The main event here, listen to this, main event, Tovar Iliev, right? I'm not even going to pronounce these guys' names right. So his record is 3-11-3. That's the main event guy. He's fighting Nikolai Yorgov. His record is 0-16. Now, they couldn't find a co-main event to fight this guy. I don't know why. I would fight him. At cruiserweight.
Where's this happening at, Rich?
This is in boxing, at the boxing hall in Pleven, Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, okay. Well, we maybe the three of us can get a flight over there. We'll draw straws to see who's going to get. Jeez, Owen, his opponent was Owen, what, Owen 16, you said? Or
16, yes, yes. Good All
God.
16 are not you.
Well, I guess there must not be a commission in Bulgaria, or at least a very strict one. I just can't imagine someone getting a license here in America. 0-16 KOs.
I think Boxrec is fucked up, so it's just showing it's in red. I thought it would mean that's all KOs, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway, the co-main event, Yavor Marinchev versus TBA. Marinchev is a cruiserweight. His record is 7-23. So I think I'll step up and take that fight for the right money.
I don't know. He did beat seven guys. Could be dangerous.
pretty crazy. I don't think there is not a single person with a winning record on this whole card. So,
you know, it's some of that though. It's almost like a bad song that's so off key. Sometimes the stupidity can turn into brilliance. That old yin yang theory. It may be an entertaining card.
One of the guys is 6-6. That's the closest to a winning record we have. He's Samet Hayusainov, and he's in the last fight of the night against the guy Valentin Stoichev, who is 7-19-3. And then there's the guy on this card who is 16-40-2. And they can't find a guy to fight him either.
All right, Rich. Tony, you going to make your comeback? Here we go. Wow.
Yeah, right. You know, it'd be funny. It's like, how many times have you ever heard that the guy that's 16-3 or whatever, 3-11-3, whatever it was, is the favorite?
You know, this is intriguing now. I wish we could find this on the internet. Now, I'm this may be like some of those old tough man brawls. No skill, but just slop and wild barroom stuff. Maybe entertaining.
Okay.
Another guy here in Germany is fighting in his debut against a guy named Suleiman Dag, who is 10-64. That's his record. Debuting fighter against a 10-64 guy.
You know, I have to assume those records are accurate, but I asked this question, and maybe everyone has a different answer, but what the heck could you be thinking that, you know, maybe this isn't for me? I mean, don't you think there's easier ways to make a living? Oh, wow. 10-64.
Yeah,
I mean, this is not a joke in there. This guy won't even be able to bag groceries a few more fights like that. How many times was he KO'd, Rich, does it say, in the 64 losses?
Let me check that out. We also have some fights in Mexico that are pretty interesting. We've got Jorge Paez Jr. at welterweight, 38-6-2, fighting Daniel Echeverri, who's undefeated at 18-0. We got also co-main event there for the WBC World Female Bantamweight title. Candy Sandoval, 9-6, fighting Yasmin Rivas, who is 33-8 there. And we've got a couple of mismatches on different cards here. This one is the Jesus fight of the week, too. Jesus Silvestri, he's 30-6, fighting Mario Andrade, who is 7-5-5. So that's kind of a mismatch. 30 wins, 6 losses versus 7 wins, 5 losses, and 5 draws. How do you get 5 draws in only freaking 17 seconds? Dude, speaking of Jesus, Jesus Silvestri. Then we've got another fight here. This one's even worse than a mismatch. Main event, too, in Tijuana. Baja California, Mexico. We got Humberto Moro Gutierrez, right? He's a super welterweight. He's got 30 wins, 6 losses, 2 draws. He's fighting Hugo Montoya, who is 3-9-1. 3 wins. 3 wins as opposed to 30. Not very good there. Not a very even fight, I don't think. Then we're getting into, I think, Sunday stuff. I think we've got one other big Saturday card somewhere. Yeah, we've got the big USA card somewhere. Well, we got a guy here in the UK. He's famous for guys that are lopsided records. Got a guy who's 12-78, Yusuf Al-Hamidi. He's got 3 draws to his credit. And we've got the guy we've talked about before, Christian Late, is also on the card. He's 10-202-7, 202 losses. Pretty bad stuff. I think he was on Tony's list.
What that sent last week?
Yeah. Worst fighters ever. Then we've got the Santa Cruz fight, Leo Santa Cruz versus Abner Mares. Mares is 29-1-1. Santa Cruz is 30-0-1. It's a featherweight fight for the vacant WBC Diamond featherweight title. Also, co-main event, Hugo Luis, 35-2, fighting Julio Seja, who is 29-1. It's a super bantamweight fight for the interim WBC World Super Bantamweight title. And also, Alejandro Luna is on the card. He's 18-0, fighting Yakubu Amadou, who is 21-7-2. And Alfredo Angulo, 23-5, fighting Hector Munoz, who's 23-15-1. And that's going to be an ESPN one, again, Premier Boxing Champions on ESPN. Also on this card, a couple of decent fighters here with great records. Jesse Roman, 19-2, fighting Hector Serrano, 18-3. And again, we have to apologize for not listing the knockouts anymore because BoxRec doesn't do that on its schedule. You got to click on each guy's name to get it done. Find out. But, yeah, out of 64 times, Suleiman Daag was on the losing end of a fight. 43 of them were knockouts, Tony.
Ouch! Ouch, ouch, ouch.
He lost 43 knockouts.
Excedrin headache number 43, huh? Jeez.
Pretty crazy. And he's got two fights coming up in the next few weeks. He's fighting on the 29th of August and also on the 19th of September. So he's staying busy with his life. Let's just see how many he had in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Twenty in a row. His last win was against an 0-1 guy named Waqar Mahmoud. TKO'd him in the second round. Lost a lot of guys there. In all fairness, though, he's fought some pretty tough opponents. Last few guys he fought, 10-0, 4-0, 10-1-1, 4-0. Tough guys. Okay. Also, this weekend is the big fight we were talking about a few weeks ago. Shane Mosley called out Ricardo Mayorga. They had a little back and forth. Mayorga was talking smack, and what did Mosley say? Boom, rematch. 7-9-1 is Mosley coming out of retirement for his own promotion here, Sugar Shane Mosley Promotions. And Ricardo is 31-8 with one draw. No title on the line, of course, but there is a title in the main event. Former interview subject of mine back in the day, Maureen Shea, otherwise known as the real $1 million baby. She's actually transplanted from New York to California now, so she's fighting in this one in Inglewood. She is 24-2 here, fighting Yulihan Alejandra Luna Avila, who is 12-2. So just about half the amount of experience as Shea has here, fighting for the IBF World Female Super Bantamweight title. So we'll be rooting for Mo Shea there. And we've also got Joel Diaz Jr. on this card. He's undefeated at 19-0, fighting Luis Arceo, who is 28-13-4. And Tommy Morrison's kid is also fighting in Joplin, Missouri on Saturday, fighting Corey Phelps. Kind of a little bit of a step up for Trey Lippe Morrison. He is 8-0 at a heavyweight. Phelps is 16-8-1.
And basically what you can really hope for more than anything out of him is that he doesn't have the same personal life pratfalls that his father did.
Right. He's not running around with crack whores?
Yeah, right.
That's a good thing. Yeah, and he's being trained actually now by Freddie Roach, so.
Oh, no shit.
He's making a lot of progress, making a name for himself. Freddie is pretty impressed with his power so far, too. He's convinced he's going to do a lot of damage. Now, I don't know how this happened, but didn't Floyd Jones Jr. just fight?
Yeah, like a week ago.
Well, let's just say he's fighting again on Saturday in St. Martin against Danny Santiago. Roy Jones Jr. versus Danny Santiago in cruiserweight. Roy Jones Jr. 62-8, Danny Santiago 33-7-1. In Phillipsburg, St. Martin. It's kind of tough. I mean, he just fought. I would think that's probably a misprint on Boxrec's part.
You never know. Might not be.
Plus, you know, Roy Jones Jr., I mean, he's got to be a Russian citizen, you know. Next thing you know, he's stuck there. Can't get out.
Yeah, right.
Hanging out with Jonathan Snowden over there. Showing on his card here. And then he's got another one on the 12th. Liverpool. Against
really?
Tony Moran, supposedly. He's 15-6. In Liverpool, yeah. That was for a title, the international cruiserweight title. Malta.
Who did he just fight then? I thought that's who he fought.
No, Eric Watkins is who he just fought.
Oh. Well, Tony Moran fought somebody because I've heard that name.
I know. Tony Moran. I don't know who he just fought, but Roy Jones Jr.'s last opponent on here is Eric Watkins from the 16th in Foxwoods, but he just fought in Russia, so obviously they didn't put that in Russia for some reason. Probably wasn't sanctioned. Tony Moran, who did he just fight? He just fought Jody Meekly. It was a while ago, though. It was May 23rd. That guy's record was 8-52-3. So. Mr. Moran is not a world beater. Let's put it that way. Last win he had before that one was to a guy who was 0-3. A guy who was 3-7, and then a guy who was 19-75, he got a win over. Big surprise there. He seems to lose to everybody who's good, but he's got one couple of good fights. 18-3, beat a guy Matthew Ellis, who was 18-3, 2003. That's a good one. Mostly opponents, though. So I shouldn't have any trouble with him. It's pretty nice, though, the picture they've got on him. They've got of this guy, Tony Moran, on Boxrec. Guess what? He's wearing fucking MMA gloves. Awesome. Way to promote the sport. Way to try to be sure, dog. All right. Let's see what else we got going on in the boxing and MMA world. Let's go to Google and see if we got some breaking news to report on or anything. Have you guys got any tidbits?
Well, the latest conspiracy well, go ahead, Tony. Yours will be a bit more interesting than mine.
No,
I'm
I was going to say I'm tidbitless.
Oh.
Okay. Well, the latest on the conspiracy tin hat, folks, as to why Holly Holmes is getting the chance against Ronda. Now, this is about the dumbest thing of the many dumb things that I picked up off the underground. Supposedly, there's this big feud between Floyd Mayweather and Ronda Rousey. Now, I have no idea why Floyd's even responding to it, but apparently he is. I guess his latest jab at her was, "You're not Forbes material." So anyways, just this nonsense is going back and forth. So the theory is, among some of these idiots, that the UFC wanted a former boxer to fight Ronda Rousey to demonstrate MMA superiority. And I'm thinking, you know, just when I think I've heard the dumbest stuff. Now, first off, how in the world is that going to mean anything? I mean, as I told you before, Rich, in the email, I don't feel at this stage of her career that Holly is anywhere near ready for Ronda Rousey. I don't think she's going to be able to stop the takedowns, and I don't think even her advantage on the feet. I mean, Ronda's improved her boxing so much. But the point is, if Ronda gets her out quick, well, Holly Holmes is not really a boxer. She's a mixed martial artist now. Where do these guys come up with this stuff? Is it too much time on their hands, you think? I mean, is that the craziest thing you ever heard?
Well, we did just have a guest of our own talking about Ronda's boxing skills need to be tested, so.
Yeah, really?
I think Holly was going to get eventually anyway, but, you know, it does kind of add an interesting twist to it. I don't get the whole Floyd Mayweather thing either. It's stupid.
No.
I mean, the one funny thing I heard was Rousey said the other day, "Well, I do make more per second than Floyd does," so.
I would agree with Tony. There's no way in the world. I mean, I don't think you could come close. But what's the point? I'm not understanding that. I mean, why would Floyd lower himself to that? I mean, she's not at his level in any shape or form. And as I've said a million times, I mean, if they'd ever fight, which no athletic commission would ever sanction, Ronda would be getting hit so many times, so fast. I mean, Floyd's not a killer puncher, but about 10 or 15 quick shots in a couple seconds, I think Ronda would realize this is a whole different thing than what she's been hit with before. But why are we even having this discussion? You know, I just have no idea how this has got this far.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it would be a thing that they would consciously do, especially not for Floyd. I mean, they wouldn't do it purposely for Floyd. Maybe
right.
Back when the whole versus MMA debate started, and this was a big buzz of the thing, but not right now. I mean, people are kind of doubt that
But the whole thing, then, we'd have to do a competition in both. I mean, if we're going to do it that way, then we'll do one in boxing and we'll do one in MMA. It's not like a boxer can go to MMA or an MMA guy can go to boxing, and that's going to demonstrate any superiority of one over the other. Give me a break. I mean, it just seems like we keep reinventing the wheel on this.
Right. Yeah, I really kind of thought it would be Tate for this one. I thought they were going to give Holly a little bit more chance to get herself well-rounded, but I think they really need somebody to get in there and actually last a round with Rousey or something. I don't know. I think
they have someone. Again, every week we say this, or at least I say the same thing. We have a potentially competitive fight. It's not going to happen. And in the meantime, Ronda's just going to keep pulling the wings off flies. I can't understand it.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on pay-per-view nights, I'll have other things to do. I mean, I just refuse to even watch it. I mean, I want to see a sporting contest. And after she finishes Holly, then we'll have to start going through all the people she's beat before. There's no one left. And so now we'll have to start seeing all these horrible rematches. Well, I won't have to start seeing it because I just won't watch. But, I mean, until Cyborg gets her chance, I mean, and when you think about it, that fight could be one of the biggest in the history of the UFC. If they could get that at a catch weight at 140, I mean, seems like it's what the fans really want, the hardcore fans.
Right. Now, speaking of Ronda Rousey, there's been a couple rumors going around about her, let's say, outside of the cage training partner. She's actually supposedly dating Travis Brown, who surprisingly has a history of violence.
Well, I thought Travis Brown was married, and he hit his wife or something. What's up with that? I mean, all of a sudden he's cheating on his wife, and it's well known now. I wonder what the deal is.
Yeah, I remember there was a piece about Rousey where she said that, you know, the kind of guys she wants, women are doing backflip for him, and she's not the type to do a backflip for a guy, so that's why she doesn't really date a lot. Women are getting punched in the face for this guy. But the husband, the wife of Travis Brown is a model, and here's an article in the New York Post. I don't know how much you can believe them, but this woman who's dating Travis Brown, she's her name is Jenna Renee Webb, and Brown and Rousey has really been photographed together, but the real only confirmation that we have that they've been with each other is this Twitter tirade from the wife of Brown here.
Oh, my God.
She said it's only a matter of time that she sees his true colors. She also said, I expected more from her. She should be ashamed of herself. Talking about Rousey. So, pretty crazy stuff. Rousey's on the gossip page, the sports page. She does it all. So that's your gossip for the week. Ronda Rousey's tramping around with Travis Brown. Maybe she can teach him some defense, right?
Well, you know, that shows what a lull we've had in fight action, if that's the big story. Wow.
Yes. It's a horrible week for news. I thought I had some stuff at least, you know, set aside in my notes, but, I mean, I didn't even take a single note here unless I put it in a different file than I'm used to. I don't see a single note for this week. That's what I should admit. So I don't know what's going on. But I guess we'll definitely have a guest next week because we're going to work on Darren Cruikshank like Tom wanted, and it'll be good to get an MMA fighter on the show.
I got to start doing maybe some posts here and there, you know, trying to get people in. I used to do that on MySpace a lot back when I first started doing this. We got a few good guests doing it that way, and I kind of been slacking myself.
Yes, we do need to step it up a little bit, see if we can get done. But, all right, folks, that's all we have for tonight. We're going to have a quick, short show, and we'll be chatting next week about all the big fights. And we'll be...
Yeah, hopefully I can give you some good news. Like, I got a new MP3 player, and my workouts are now back to normal, and I'm not in a bad mood.
Awesome. Well, I know I will have some good news about weight loss because I'll be working my ass off this week.
So. That's good.
Down.
You got to make light heavyweight.
Yeah, I could. I could get down to 175 by the end of next week. It's possible.
All right.
But anyway, guys, that's all we have, and definitely we'll have a guest next week. Thanks for stopping by and listening in. And that's all she wrote.
All right, guys. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the fightless weekend. Talk to you later.
Have a good weekend.
Sir. Adios. Adios.